Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with jazz guitarist, composer, and arranger Chris Standring. He talked about his 2022 CD, Simple Things. So back in March of 2021, he found himself in the emergency room after chest pains. Although there was some history of heart disease in his family, he never dreamed that he would be a candidate for a heart attack. He was just 60, and he kept himself in good shape, never smoked, but he was lucky. He came through it all with flying colors and a new appreciation for the simple things that make life worth living. On his newest release, he reflects on his recent experience and his new awareness of the fragility of life. And he connects to some real good elements of funk that were heavily influenced by the great Prince and Bootsy Collins. In our second interview together, we cover this and so much more. Enjoy.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Great to catch up with you again.
You too.
How's everything going?
Everything's going very well, actually. I can't complain.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you for taking a minute out to talk about the brand new album. It's called Simple Things, but there's a big meaning behind it. You kind of had a health scare that prompted you to release and write this material.
I sure did. Long story short, I was sitting in my backyard and experiencing some chest pains. I went across the street to the urgent care, and they told me that I needed to get to the ER straight away, so they called an ambulance, and I went, and they held me for a couple of nights and put a stent in me, and I mean, literally, and they just discharged me, and everything was good, you know. I mean, they've got this technology really down to a fine art. So, you know, of course, it was a bit of a wake-up call, and, you know, I was on medication for a year, and I'm on half of that now. I mean, everything's should be pretty good. I mean, I literally just had this one artery that was blocked and everything else was totally fine. Yeah, hopefully all is well and I get to live the rest of my life.
Well, I mean, I guess the other part of this too is that the last couple of years with COVID has been pretty heavy. So you couple that up with the health scare, it probably had to be a pretty big combining of things that would be a big awakening.
I can't have helped, can it? I mean, I don't know if the two things were related. In my case, I think it was probably more like a coincidence. Yeah, I mean, I think COVID was not a good experience for so many people. It's tough when you're living on your own and something like this happens during COVID, you know. I'm used to living on my own, of course, but got to deal with these things, and it's a different beast when you're on your own. Anyway, I mean, it's all good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We go forward, well, everything's fine.
Well, and the name of the album is Simple Things, and you did say in your liners that, you know, really made you kind of hone in on things like family, having joy in what you do, and kind of pulling it all in. Is that kind of the meaning behind the album?
I think really I just wanted to somehow associate my experience and put it somehow into the music. Somehow, I didn't know how to do it. Even if it was just a matter of taking music and associating certain titles. But other times I think certain things crept through musically. The flavor of the music I wrote definitely had some impact. It's really hard to talk about this stuff because at the end of the day, it's music and it's its own thing. You know what I mean? It's like what happens tend to happen at the moment.
Another part of this is there was a kind of funk influence that went into this album. You were talking about Prince and Bootsy Collins. How did all that come about?
Well, I think if there's any influence of this health scare that happened, is rather than dwell on it in a very negative way, I wanted to do the exact opposite, as I tend to do. You know, I want to make it more a celebration of life rather than a fear of what may be. You know what I mean? My influences, going back from years gone by, are pretty diverse. And in the beginning, it was a lot of Motown. It was, when I came across to the States, it was a lot of funk. I met a bunch of R&B guys that really turned me on to music that I wasn't super aware of. I mean, in a way, I was aware of it, but it didn't get under my skin like it did when I came here and it kind of started playing that music. And one artist who I was always a big fan of was Prince. And, of course, you know, bands like Earth, Wind & Fire and Bootsy Collins, I was aware of as a kid, too. James Brown, all that stuff everybody listened to everybody else and was influenced by that stuff. And I thought on this record, why not tap into that a little bit more? I mean, I've always made somewhat funky albums, but not quite in the Prince bootsy way, you know? So I wanted to just step it up a little bit and just delve a little deeper, you know?
So have you had any live shows lately to promote?
Yes.
How has that been?
Well, I've actually been traveling quite a bit since the end of 2021. I went to London for some shows earlier this year. I just got back from Florida, did a couple of shows. I'm off to Richmond, Virginia in a couple of weeks for a show. Then I'm going to, I have to remember where I'm playing. Denver, Colorado, Yoshi's in Oakland for a show, Catalina Island Jazz Festival at the end of the year. I mean, there's a whole ton of them, and I can't remember all of them without looking.
What's been the audience reaction? I mean, have you noticed a change with the audiences now that we're getting back to it more?
Well, they've all got big smiles on their faces. There's a big thirst to come out and see live music again. And not everybody's comfortable doing it yet, but for the most part, I'm playing to packed houses. You know, it's a little different. I mean, you know, the way shows are set up, at least indoor events, they tend to be socially distanced a little. So, you know, back in the day, you'd have these tables right close up to each other, wouldn't you? But now it's not quite the same. But in large venues, it's actually better. You know, it's good.
I guess following up with this, how do you see not only the world of jazz, but the music community emerging stronger since COVID? You know, the things that we've realized, the new skills we've acquired, just realization. How do you see things coming back stronger?
Oh, that's such a difficult question. I don't know if they will come back stronger. You know, it's all really down to the younger generation, how they pick up the pieces and move forward. I think us old guys, you know, we're all basically wanting to do our thing and do it for as long as they let us, you know. But and of course, you know, we need to stay relevant and make good musical statements and all that good stuff. But I think it's the younger generation that need to figure out how this is going to go forward. And if the young musicians have the drive, then I don't think there's anything to stop them. You know, I think everybody is always going to want to have a thirst quenched for live music. It just depends what else gets in the way. I mean, and when I say that, you know, we have so many distractions with other things like this damn phone that we all have and devices. They've really ruined the planet. You know, back in the day, it was we had a couple of things to do, didn't we? We could play records or watch the TV or go and play in the roads. So live music was a big thing. It was a wonderful experience to get to go and do. And it's still the case, but we have all this other stuff now. And that's the worry, that music is not quite as relevant as it used to be. So we'll have to see. You know, as I said, it's up to the younger generation to drive this.
So what are you hoping the listener ultimately gets from this new album?
I think this is, I know I say this every time I release a record, but I think it's my strongest statement yet. I think it's sonically the best produced album I've ever done. It's also, it's got a live aspect that I captured that none of my albums had. I wanted to really step up the live aspect to maybe record something that we would do in a live setting. Obviously, you can't totally do that without it being completely live. It's got that flavor, you know, and compositionally, I think the songs are really strong. And I think people just need to come with it and hopefully they'll enjoy it. I can't really speak for them, you know.
Lastly, but probably more importantly than anything else, where can everybody buy this album? Any information on upcoming live shows? What should they do?
Well, the best port of call would be my website at chrisstandring.com. That's also where you can buy tickets to all my upcoming concerts. And I can ship out personally signed CDs. But, you know, it's all my albums are distributed digitally as well, everywhere. Wherever you get your music, you can get me too, you know.
Chris, hey, thank you again for taking some time out for the show. Good luck with the album. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Joe. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and singers in London, New York City, Kansas City, and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Chris for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Dimino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. And for everything Joe Dimino related, go to JoeDimino.com. And if you feel like it, you can donate to the Neon Jazz cause. Until next time. Enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.